Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator. Thanks for downloading Art for Your Ear, an artsy podcast filled with behind-the-scenes stories from amazing artists before they're in the art history textbooks. This is episode 8 already, and I'm so happy to tell you it's brought to you by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Today I'm talking to Mary Kate McDivitt. She is a full-time hand-lettering artist based in Philadelphia. And when I say hand-lettering, I mean by hand. No computers, no fonts, just the confidence of her hand. Oh, and she's even got a little challenge for all of us near the end. Ready? Let's call Mary Kate. Hi, Mary Kate.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're in your new studio in Philadelphia.
That's right. Yeah. I've been here for 3 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. A new space is always so fun to get set up.
For sure.
Well, I've got so many questions for you. But one of the first ones is, I thought you lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And I don't know, the move from Brooklyn to Philly was kind of like, I had always had it in my mind that I would move back to Philly. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from the area. I have a lot of friends. A lot of my family still live around here. And I lived in Portland for a little while. Then I moved to Brooklyn. And I thought I would probably be there for another 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I just suddenly got this itch to come back to Philly. I think a couple things were bugging me about Brooklyn, maybe. One of them, I guess, being rent.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And it's just nuts. And it's while I do have meetings and Manhattan every once in a while, it's so rare.
Yeah, and you can take the train in from Philly.
And I can take the train in from Philly. It's you get the express train, it's an hour and a half.
Yep, there you go. That's so exciting. And so is your studio in your house then?
No, it's pretty close by. We have a garage and a pretty nice basement or a big extra room upstairs, but I generally think I work better when I'm away from the house because when I used to work from home, I would take so many breaks, snack breaks or
coffee breaks.
Name it. I have a reason to break for it. A lot of them were my cat. So while I don't like being away from my cat, it's nice having a separate space. It feels more official. And I love this space I got. It's a really big, kind of lofty studio. And yeah, I love it.
And is that where you are right now?
That's where I am right now.
Well, there you go. We can all try and envision it.
Yeah. Let's see. It's pretty big. There's boxes everywhere.
Oh, it sounds heavenly.
Oh, yeah.
So I have so many questions for you, but you know what I normally do is at the end of the interview, I always do a little speed round of questions, but I'm going to ask you your speed round first.
Okay.
Because they're all hand lettering, illustration based questions.
Okay.
And then I just want to see where it goes. Okay. Ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, yeah, they kind of are. Okay. Let's start with this. Favorite movie?
Let's see. Favorite movie.
It's okay. It can be Dirty Dancing or something. It doesn't need to be fancy.
I've rewatched this movie a million times and I just rewatched it recently. So I'm just going to say Little Women.
There you go. Thank you. So a follow up to that, because of the kind of work you do, favorite movie title sequence?
My gosh. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I guess North by Northwest, the Alfred Hitchcock
title.
It is so cool.
Oh, I have to look that up.
Yeah, it's definitely a really fun one.
Okay, I'll find it and put a link on my site. Favorite letter to draw?
It used to be L. And maybe it still is. Let's go with L.
Okay. Favorite font?
Oh, I don't have one. I never use fonts. And I couldn't even really name one.
Okay, good. Good answer. See, I'm so glad I'm doing this first.
It's like a terrible answer.
No, that's kind of good. That'll lead into other questions. Mm-hmm. And do you have a favorite quote?
I have a lot I love. And the one that I've done is amazing things will happen.
Oh my God, that was literally the perfect segue because that was my first question for you.
Oh, okay.
It's like we planned that.
That was. It like really seemed like, because I'm trying to think of my portfolio now.
Yeah, there you go. Well, amazing things will happen. That piece is, in fact, amazing. And I have seen it lots of places. And actually, the first place I saw it was quite a few years ago at Lisa Congdon's studio. She has it up on her wall in her studio. And I was wondering if you, was that a personal piece or was that actually for a client or what was that? How did that come about?
That was a personal piece I did, I want to say 2011, but.
Yeah, that's when I saw it.
It was, it was actually a quote from Conan O'Brien's, what do you call the speech at the graduation?
Oh, a commencement speech?
His commencement speech for Dartmouth?
Oh. I'm
not so sure. But I was watching it and he just said, if you work really hard and are nice, amazing things will happen. And amazing things will happen just really resonated with me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, with that quote, I actually did two other quotes that was kind of like a little series that I debuted on my Etsy shop.
Mm-hmm.
The other quote was "Pain don't hurt," which is a famous quote from what's his name? I'm forgetting. But Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse says it. His name was Darren. Can't remember that. And abolish boredom. And abolish boredom didn't really do that well because everyone's like, "I already did. I'm never bored." I'm like, "Okay, well, good for you." But yeah, so amazing things will happen. Definitely, you know, it feels good to hear it and look at it.
Well, and didn't amazing things sort of happen for you after that?
I guess so.
It's kind of interesting. Like you sort of put it out in the universe.
Yeah, that's how it works, you know?
Yeah, so cool. And so you do a lot of personal work, but you also do you do more client work than personal these days?
For sure.
Yeah.
Although I just started this, you may have heard of the 100 Day Project.
Yes.
I started a bit late, but I'm on, today is day 50.
Wow.
So far.
Woo-hoo, halfway.
Yeah, really. Oh my gosh. It's like, you don't realize how many 100, like really how much 100 drawings.
Is. Yeah.
A lot. So right now, even though I don't spend a lot of time on these little drawings I do, it's definitely, I'm doing a lot of these drawings that it's feeling like I have this giant personal project kind of going on.
And are you loving it?
Or
do you find it stressful?
I don't find it stressful. Like yesterday, I finished my work for the day. Usually I try and get all my work done and then I start it, which is why sometimes they post at like midnight or 8 o'clock.
Right. Yeah.
But yesterday I finished all my work and I was like, okay, what am I going to draw today? And it just like popped in my head. So yesterday was great. But sometimes I'm like, what's the animal? What are they doing? How am I going to word this thing? Because it's my project is called 100 Days of People and Pets.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, so you're not hand lettering?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a challenge. Like that's kind of the idea. My friend Melissa McPheeters talked me into doing it. She's doing an amazing one, 100 Days of Paper Cuts, where she's doing an illustration made out of paper cut.
Yes.
And she was like, I used to do a lot of illustration in college. That was mostly, like, everything was hand-drawn, texture. That was all my design projects, and a lot of it was illustrated. And she was like, you should do your characters. Like, I miss those characters. And I was like, okay. It would be nice to take a break from lettering all the time.
Wow, so yeah, good for you.
Yeah, thank you. It's a great challenge, you know? It's something new, and I definitely like drawing people a lot. And there's still a little bit of lettering. It's just not the focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should do that too. I've been sort of seeing everybody doing that, and I want to do it with collages. Just do one little collage every day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. You've inspired me.
You should do it.
Okay.
It really does feel good because it's like at the end of it, you know, even though it is a lot and 100 days takes quite a while, it's like you have this big collection of work that you can look back to on
new projects, or
just something to inspire you.
I was going to say, I wonder if these little creatures will start popping up in your work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm already doing more illustration work. It's kind of, you know, it's book covers and stuff and some editorial pieces. They're like, they want a little bit of illustration with the lettering. And so
right.
I'm kind of doing more of that, which I love because kind of blending my lettering with illustration was how I really got into lettering to begin with.
So yeah, because you went to school for graphic design?
Yep.
And so how did you get into, like, how did the hand lettering come in? And you don't do it digitally, right? Is it all hand done?
Yeah, it's all hand done.
Wow, that's awesome. And so how did you go from graphic design, which is a lot on computer?
Well, when I went to Tyler School of Art in Philadelphia, and my professors were always pushing to work with new mediums.
Mm-hmm.
They're always wanting to, like, collect, you know, textures and patterns to incorporate in your design work. So when I would hand in sketches for a project, they would be like, okay, this is it. Like, you're done. And I was like, yeah, I had all these plans of using fonts and trying to use the pen tool in Illustrator. And they're like, no, don't do that.
Stop right now.
Because they, you know, that's what teachers are best for, is finding your strength and kind of helping you discover your style and the way of working. So
that's wonderful.
I just felt most comfortable drawing most of my layouts. And when I did have a completely kind of like a slick project, designy, you know, all on the computer, it was a disaster.
So know your strengths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when you're working on like a client project, and you know, so many clients now are used to, oh, we'll just click undo, or, you know, just like redo it, like just type in a new font. So what happens when you've done everything by hand and they're like, you know what, we're thinking of changing the title?
Oh gosh. Well, it's such a huge nightmare.
Like, do you make them sign ironclad, like, this is the title, like, it cannot change?
Well, I have, you know, because it's like, if it is like a title change, which has happened, especially advertising headlines and stuff like that.
Right.
Where they say, okay, we decided to, and it's like, okay, well, I need to draw a whole new headline. One of the things that I've learned to kind of incorporate is, that's like a whole new payment.
Good for you. Yeah.
that whole thing is so tricky, and it makes me tense just thinking and talking about it.
Yeah.
But that happens, and it's like, I do have to redraw it again. But I did have this one experience where it was very close to, it was a book cover, and they were about to change the title of the book cover. They had this final book cover meeting, and they were...
And you were done.
I was done, yeah. I was, like, finished files and everything. And they were kind of having a, like, you know, looking through the whole content of the book and everything. And towards the end of the meeting, they were like, well, what if, you know, maybe the title isn't right.
Oh, my God.
And this is all via my art director on an email. I wasn't in this meeting at all. And they said they had this long conversation about this kind of change, and she was sweating.
Yeah.
And she basically said, at the end of the meeting, one of the executives stood up and said, if you change this cover, I will kill you all. And basically walked out of the room, and everyone was like, okay, so this is the good cover. We're staying with this. And
oh, nothing like a death threat to...
Yeah, oh my gosh. I am so pleased no one was murdered over this book. And it's like, it's a great book cover, and I really love it. But my art director got a real kick out of it. I'm sure everyone else did too. It's like, Yeah, let's end this and keep this beautiful coverage.
No kidding. Well, and it's so wonderful, actually, that, you know, like I work on a computer every day. I'm a graphic designer by day, and my whole world is, you know, click, 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 undo, undo. And it's so, there's something really nice about, you know, doing things by hand. And it seems like there is a, I know you've been doing it for a while, but there seems to be this resurgence of traditional, like sign painters and doing this, you know, the chalkboards by hand and all of these things. And have you noticed that as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what the funny thing is, while it is really apparent in design and lettering and the kind of inspiration we're gathering and reference material that's kind of coming back into the work.
Yeah.
And modernized and everything. But I was reading this article about doors and windows from my house.
Sure.
Okay.
Now that you're a homeowner.
Yeah. So like, that's all I'm into right now. And the article is basically talking about how people and their homes are wanting more classic styles, like more classic window styles than, you know, what it had been in the last decade. I'm like, I think it's going around everywhere. It's not even just in design, you know, graphic design. It's in all kinds of design.
Yeah, so that's true. That's how the world works, right? It's always these sort of throwbacks to, to the old and the traditional. And yeah, have you seen Faith Levine and Sam Mason's movie, Sign Painters?
You know what? I can't even believe I haven't seen that movie yet.
It's so good.
I've watched
I bet you would love it.
I've seen the trailer 100 times, and I have the book, and it's amazing. And I feel like I need to be in this certain environment or something to watch this movie, because I've been looking forward to it for years. I don't know why I haven't, because she started that like 2009?
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like I remember seeing a Blogspot blog about her starting that.
Well, first there was Handmade Nation. That might have been 2009.
Oh, okay.
And I think Sign Painters was I'm totally making this up. Like 2012? I wrote about it. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
I guess I was following a blog or something where she had started traveling.
Oh, maybe. Yes. But then it didn't actually come out till.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it took several years. So yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. And maybe it wasn't even 2009. It was like 2010. But it's like, yeah.
You should watch it. Everybody should watch it. It's so well done. And it just makes you want to like figure it out. And you've already figured it out. Like you already know how to create like that.
Right.
And so I'm sure you would love it.
Yeah. And sign painting, that's what one of those careers that I just look at them and I'm like, wow, it's just incredible the way. Yeah. If you ever watch, and you have because you've seen the movie, but watching a sign painter work, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I've always been quite jealous of that.
It is. And I just think that it's so cool, the confidence.
Yes.
You have to have, because, you know, in my world, it's like, it doesn't work. Well, undo, undo, you know, or it's like, I'm not responsible for those letters. I just pick a font,
right. You know?
And so to watch people do it, I had a summer job once painting signs. Oh my God. I think I sweat through every t-shirt I owned. I was so stressed the whole time that I was going to mess it up.
Yeah.
So watching that movie, I'm like, wow, man, that's nerves of steel.
Yeah.
So I have one question I want to ask too, is that, so I know you're doing your little critters at the moment, but if you ever hear, if you're just, you know, around and you hear a really like funny saying or a great quote, is it your first instinct to like jot that down and then hand letter it?
Yeah.
Really?
I watch a lot of TV, and when I say I watch a lot of TV, it's all reruns. I must have rewatched News Radio about 100 times.
That was a good
Simpsons
show.
Simpsons about 1,000,000. Yeah, I used a News Radio reference the other day, and everyone's like, what is that? And I'm like, you guys remember News Radio? It was on in the, I don't know, 90s?
And like, I remember.
Yeah, no one's watched that in like 2 decades.
What,
like, okay.
what are your other favorites?
Home Movies, which is a cartoon. I think it was on Adult Swim or something.
Okay.
By Brendan Small. Peep Show, which is a British TV series, which I think is on Hulu now, but that is a great one. I also watched the Jeremy Brett version of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
I watch that all the time. That Sherlock Holmes is magnificent. He is so great.
And so when you're watching, is that when you're listening for quotes and stuff, or you're just... You just get like getting lost in it, or both?
I just get, yeah, both.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's when I hear a quote and I'm like, oh, I never really heard it before. I'll like write it down. Like, I guess sort of recently, a few months ago, I was watching The Simpsons and it was the one where they go to an apple farm.
Yeah.
And Ned Flanders has this perfect phrase for to see the difference between apple cider and apple juice.
Yeah.
And he says, if it's brown and yellow, you got juice there, fella. If it's tangy and brown, you're in cider town. And I was like, that is so perfect. I just love it. And it was like October, and just a couple days before that, I had been to a apple farm, and I just was looking at all the signage and all the charming little things around, and I just kind of drew up the quote.
Oh my God, is it on your site?
I think I actually did put it on my website.
Oh,
I know it's on Instagram.
It's on Instagram? Okay, so I can find it and show people?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, Ned Flanders. Go, Ned.
Yeah,
You've made it big now, Ned.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Well, I love that. And one of the things, like that was in Creative Block, that was your unblocking project for people, mm-hmm. was to, you know, pay attention, be present, and look for these quotes, you know, in your day-to-day life, and then hand letter them. And I think that's such a great challenge for two reasons. One, it's the makes you be present every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like your 100-day thing that you're doing, you know, you kind of have to think about being creative every single day. And it makes you more present by having to kind of open your ears and eyes for those inspiring things.
Exactly. And it's not like it needs to be, it only needs to be meaningful to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that it needs to sound super smart or.
No, if Ned Flanders strikes a chord, run with
it. Exactly. It's, you know, just something that makes you smile. That's why some people have this, I don't know, I guess there's this thing against like hand lettered quotes because there's so many out there, but there's just some things I like to read every day.
Yeah.
Just a small little quote, something I like to look at. So I have no problem with hand lettered quotes, but I would say that because I have a shop full of them.
Yeah. Well, but I haven't heard anybody saying that.
Maybe it's more in like the hand letterers world. It's like, I don't know. It's like you do a quote and it's maybe it's becoming kitschy or something.
It's starting to get crowded.
Possibly. So maybe some people, I don't know.
And that'll probably be one of those things that happen in waves too, you know, like
exactly.
The strong will survive and continue forward. And I really think like that hand, like there's a, I think, you know, you see some people are kind of trying to do it graphically. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the same. Like there is something so beautiful in the hand. And again, it's your confidence. And I just admire it so, so much.
Maybe
I should give a letter L a try.
Yeah. That one's an easy one. I remember.
Uppercase or lowercase?
Oh, uppercase.
Okay. Because I can do a lowercase for sure.
Yeah. That one's pretty. I mean, that one's fun too. If you get like a letter the word lullaby, that's a good one.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try it. Everybody out there try it too. Lullaby. Okay. Sorry, what were you going to say in elementary school?
I remember in elementary school, I was sitting next to my friend Laura on the bus, and I was explaining to her why she was lucky to have a name that started with an L. And I was like drawing on the back of the school bus seat.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but look. And I was, you know, drawing out the L, and I'm like, and then mine is an N. And I'm like, Arr. And she's like, yeah, I don't get it. I'm like, okay, never will.
Oh my gosh, how old were you?
I want to say, because I was sitting next to her, I was maybe 7 or 8.
That's awesome.
I was on the school bus, so it's like, yeah.
I love that. Well, you know, I've always hated capital D's.
Yeah,
I always hated that my name started with a D, and I hate how capital D's look, and I always wish my name was Kate because I loved capital K's.
K's are great as well.
Yeah, so I married a guy with the last name Krissa, so I finally got a K.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's so, all for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's, I met him at work. I was like, what's your last name again? Krissa? Ooh, sounds good. Done deal.
K.
Yep. Yep. So I got my K finally. It's so funny, right? How you get, or have you opened up to M's now?
Yeah, I have. I've learned how to manage them. And I haven't gone through my, elementary school papers recently, but I could picture the way I drew M's, and it was bonkers, like way too many loops and stuff. But I definitely agree with you on the D, because I have a D and an uppercase D in my last name.
Right.
And it is always, it's such a pain. It stops the flow. I have to
It's crazy. I hear you. I'm not down with that. Good thing Lullaby doesn't have a D anywhere in it.
Yeah, it's a good one to try.
Okay, I'm going to.
It's like you can do fun things with the tail of that Y. Explore that.
The B. Okay, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that out to everybody. I want people to do that. And then let's see, what should we hashtag it?
Okay.
I don't know. I'll think of something and I'll put it in the post. And I think we should all do it. Why not?
Yeah.
This will be my first foray into hand lettering.
Yeah. Oh, what a sweet little word, too.
Yeah. Yes. So much better than so many other words I could have picked. well, I think that's it, unless you have any crazy stories you want to tell me.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, we'll save that for episode 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I know you've got unpacking to do, and congratulations on the new house and the new studio and all that exciting stuff that's happening. And thank you for taking time out to do this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And we'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. We all need to do this little lullaby challenge. Do your best hand-lettered lullaby and then share it out on Twitter or Instagram or both with the hashtag #HandLetterLullaby. I'm so excited to try it, and I cannot wait to see what all of you make. All right, that's it for today. The next episode of Art for Your Ear will be up next Saturday. See you then.